Blog Talk Radio.
From the pits to the stands, from the drivers to the fans, it's time for Race Fans Rock with your host, Infield Chen.
Hey, race fans, welcome to another broadcast of Race Fans Rock Radio. Tonight's show is brought to you by Race City Steel, serving all of your steel and plastic needs at www.racecitysteel.com. All right, this is a good one tonight, guys. This is really, really cool. On the show tonight, as you guys know, I will be speaking with Darian Brazil, and she is the very lucky fan who was surprised by Kyle Busch in race traffic on the way home from Martinsville Speedway. Well, she was also his guest this past weekend at Bristol Motor Speedway, and she's coming on the show to talk about what a whirlwind her life has been since her chance meeting with him was captured on video and it went viral. So she'll be on in just a little while to talk all about it, and I can't wait. Now, it's been a long week for Brian and I at home. God, we have not been getting much sleep in the past 6 days at all. Might even be 7 days. I think we're just so sleep deprived, we don't even know how many days we've been up right now. But we're like zombies, but we're not up all night for good reasons. Not by a long shot. Now, as you guys know, we all have three basset hounds. We have Bert, we have Betty, and we have Molly. Betty is 12 years old, and Molly is now 13 years old. Well, our old ladies are having some old lady issues, and it's been torture dealing with it. Oh, God, it's just been driving us crazy. Well, I took them to the vet last week and for a complete workup and an exam, but I was thinking they kind of had a UTI or a bladder infect issue or something like that because their floodgates have been open, and they don't care where they do it. So that's a big problem. But both ladies have decided that, you know, they no longer need to do their business outside, and that's really, really not okay. And as if it wasn't bad enough, Betty decided that she has sworn off eating dog food because, you know, that's not what she wants to do. And she's lost a lot of weight over the past few months. So kind of worried about her. So I have to cook for her now. I have to cook special stuff for her now. And for the past several days, her stomach's been upset, and it's just not been good at all for us. So I made a chicken soup. It's not really helping the situation either. So they went to the vet. Betty's blood work showed that she had hypothyroidism, which means she is really sluggish and she should be putting on weight, but instead she's losing it. But she is doing the sluggish part of it. The doctor said that, you know, it could be just it's from old age and her body is starting to kind of slow down. So not good news, but we're going to monitor her and take care of her as best we could for there. As for Ms. Molly, her blood work came back great, but she's not okay. As I said, she's been keeping us up for an entire week now, every single night. She just will not go to sleep. And she paces and she stares up into space and she balks all night long. And we're up with her and we're begging her to, you know, shut up and go to sleep, but it don't happen. So after all this, she's been diagnosed with cognitive disorder, meaning she's kind of losing her mind, especially at night. So our vet has prescribed some meds for her to, you know, relax and sleep, and hopefully we can get some sleep and our mind's back on track too. So it's really scary, you know, because it can get worse and worse until she heads over to the Rainbow Bridge. So this is what I'm dealing with, but I'm really happy that she will be getting a night-night pill in a little while, and I pray to God that she sleeps all night long. So please say a prayer for us as well. Really appreciate it. So if I sound a little under the weather, I'm just kind of exhausted. Now, as far as the rest of our week outside this house and away from the pups, it was just as tough. Now, we've really been through it this past week, I got to tell you. Well, we went to Orange County Speedway on Friday and Saturday with Stephen Parsons and his number 98 Phoenix Construction Ford Fusion for the car's late model stock tour Orange Blossom 200. We had a good test day on Friday with good speeds, and Brian was really happy with the way the car looked on track. We had two practice sessions on Saturday, qualified, and we raced. So it was a one-day show for Saturday. Now, remember, Stephen Parsons is only 17 years old, but he did a fantastic job, especially when it came time to qualify. He was the first car on the grid to go out, and I didn't pick that qualifying spot. It was given to us. I'm just going to put that out right there. And he did qualify in the top position, and he remained in P1 all the way up until the last car went out to qualify, which happened to be the very, very experienced NASCAR Camping World Truck Series driver, Timothy Peters. So Stefan, who only ran a partial schedule last year in the Cars Tour Series, started in P2 on the outside of the first row next to a veteran. So what an accomplishment that was. Now, they took the green flag, and he was holding his own for quite a while, but he did start to fall back a few spots. But again, a lot of his competitors out there on the track are drivers who have been doing this for a really long time, and he's really just starting out in the series. You know, he's kind of learning the car and whatnot. Now, about 70 laps in, he scraped the wall kind of hard, actually hard enough to bend the wheels on the right side. So he came into the pits and got two fresh right side tires, went back out. But the car wasn't handling right for him at all, and he kind of got the wall again with the right side. So he brought it in, and, you know, he did some suspension damage. So, you know, they made the decision to call it a night rather than risk him going back out there and really getting the car hurt. So he went on to finish in P22. Car's a little bit banged up, but it's fixable, and it will be ready to go again in a couple of weeks at Hickory Motor Speedway. But honestly, overall, he did a fantastic job, and we're confident that he's going to gain the experience he needs to start winning those races. Now, I actually had the chance to interact with him, with fans, too. Before the race, there was like a meet-and-greet kind of mingle thing between the drivers and fans in like the fan zone area at that track. And he was really cool with the fans who asked him for autographs and pictures, so I was really happy with that. That went really well. He's got a good personality with the fans, so that's going to make it much easier to work with him moving forward, and I'm really looking forward to it. Now, while all that was going on at Orange County Speedway, the NASCAR Sprint Cup and Xfinity Series were at Bristol Motor Speedway. Eric Jones won the NASCAR Fitzgerald Glider Kits 300, and Carl Edwards was flipping over backwards after winning the Food City 500. But the best good underdog story of the whole weekend came out of Matt DiBenedetto, who finished sixth. Now, I, along with many, many other fans, were really happy for him and the BK Racing team to see the underdogs finish on top for a change, and it gives hope to all the other underdog teams who dream of a top 10 or a top 5 finish. So congratulations to Matt DiBenedetto and the whole BK Racing organization. Good job. Now, guys, tonight's show is sponsored in part by Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC. How would you like to multiply the cash you have today into the cash you'll have tomorrow and down the road for years to come? Well, you can do that with Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC. They're a wealth and profitability company designed to help individuals like you achieve financial freedom. So you don't have to worry about if you'll have what you need when you need it for those rainy days. Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC, have helped thousands of their clients live the life they've only dreamed of with peace of mind. Now, they've helped me for several years, and I can't see myself without them. So you shouldn't either. So visit www.highlandwealthny.com for a consultation. It was one of the best decisions I ever made, and it can be the best decision you make, too. That's www.highlandwealthny.com. All right, I don't want to talk too many words. I want to get my first guest on the show tonight. I want to welcome Darian Brazil to the show. Darian?
Hey.
Hello. Darian. Hey. Hi. Welcome to Race Fans Rock Radio. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, to say that your life has drastically changed in the past couple of weeks, what do you think of your instant fame?
It's definitely been pretty crazy and pretty hectic lately. Just, you know, doing a bunch of interviews and everything. But, you know, the reason I like to do them is just to get the word out about Kyle and how great of a driver he, well, you know, people already know that. He's a great driver, but you know what, that he's a great person too. Because he's had a bad reputation in the past for having, you know, a bad attitude and stuff like that. But he is. He's really a great person. He's a great guy. He has a great family, and I just really look up to him, and I want other people to be able to see that too. So
absolutely. Well, Darian, let's start at the beginning. So you're a big Kyle Busch fan. Everybody knows that. When did you actually become a fan of his? How long ago?
Well, he started racing about 13 years ago, NASCAR, 13.
Yeah.
And I've liked him ever since then. I liked Gordon before, but when Kyle came on, I just saw something about him. You know, he just had this spunk and, good motivation. And I just liked him ever since he started racing. I just always, you know, I just something clicked, and I just really liked him. And so I started watching him more closely in the races, and I'm like, wow, he's good, you know. he's going to go somewhere, and he definitely has.
Well, absolutely. Now, how many NASCAR races have you been to prior to Martinsville?
A bunch.
Okay.
20-some,
right.
Probably.
Nice. Now, what tracks have you been to?
I go to Daytona, the spring race. I haven't been to the Daytona fall race summer race. Daytona, Martinsville, Darlington, Richmond, Bristol, Talladega, Charlotte.
Nice. So you're well-versed. You know the tracks pretty well. So now you went to Martinsville Speedway. So let's talk about this, the whole thing, how it all started. So you go to Martinsville Speedway. You're driving home from Martinsville Speedway and take it from there. What are you thinking?
Well, and I kind of like to take it from before the video because it's a really cool story, too, you know, what led up to that and how it just worked out. You know, I was there the whole weekend. I went and saw him win Saturday, saw him win Sunday. And I tried to – some races I'll get pit passes to, but I just didn't feel like getting one to that one. You know, I'll get them probably once or twice a year I'll get the pre-race pit pass. But I didn't have one for Martinsville. So after he won on Sunday, I went down there right in front of Victory Lane at the fence, and I was, like, hoping. I'm like, okay, maybe, you know, sometimes they'll let fans down there. Sometimes the drivers or the crew will come up, you know, right there in the stands.
Right.
If there's not a mob of people or anything, you know, they'll ease up there after they're done with their pitchers and everything. So I was hoping that something was going to happen. I'm like, okay, we should at least try to go down here. And the traffic's always so bad after the race anyway, so there wasn't any point in leaving, you know, right
after.
So I'm like, we're going to hang out around here down Victory Lane and see what happens. Well, we were hanging out down there, me and two of my friends, and he came up and threw a hat. Threw a hat, and I happened to catch it. So it's only a hat that the crew members get. You can't buy the hat anywhere. So that was really cool, and I was just excited about that, you know, just getting that. And it wasn't even signed at that point. It was just a plain hat. So, anyway, got that, and if I wouldn't have had that on, he would have never seen me in the car. So that's another good thing about that.
So that's the hat that you were wearing when he recognized you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Wow. So, I mean, it just played out so perfect. And
Now, I saw your initial face when he beat the horn, and it's like the same face that I give when I'm like, who the hell is beeping at me?
I'm like, okay, they're just trying to get over in traffic.
So what went through your head, you know, when you realized that it was actually him?
I was in shock, honestly. Like, you know, people have asked me that. They're like, what did you think? And I'm like, well, I don't really know if I thought anything. Like, my brain just froze, and I'm like, I just couldn't believe that it was him. You know, I tried so hard all day to see him, and then he's like right beside me. So I just went into shock, I think.
Well, I mean, your reaction was priceless, and it was still real. And I really think that that's what captivated so many fans to watch the video over and over again. I mean, I'm
watched
like 30 times myself. Now, did you know that the whole thing was being videoed? Did you know?
Well, I did when he rolled the window down, because as soon as I looked over, I saw Samantha sitting in the passenger seat, and she was doing it on her phone. So she had her phone up, and I saw it. But you know, I didn't think she was gonna put it anywhere, or I thought she was just videoing it for their own laugh or whatever. But I definitely could never imagine that it would have got the attention that it did.
So now, when did you realize that the video went viral, and what happened once it did to you?
Well, I told some people about it that knew I was at the race, and I called and told them what happened and everything. And they were like, oh, I bet Samantha, because Samantha is like a Twitter you know, she's like the Twitter god. She's on Twitter all the time. So they were like, I guarantee you she's going to put it on Twitter. And a few minutes later, they call me back, and they're like, it's on Twitter. She put it on there. And then next thing I know, people will call me, it's on Facebook, and it's on Instagram. And, you know, all those things. And I looked at it that night, and it was funny mm-hmm. watching it for the first time because I'm like, oh, my God, I really, you know. I knew I was freaking out, but I didn't know it looked like that. I was like, oh, my God.
But, it looked great. It really did. It looked really good. Now, when you told your friends that it happened, did they actually believe you? They were like, yeah, right.
No, they did. Well, they could hear it in my voice. I mean, they knew I wasn't joking.
Well, so, you got good friends.
Yeah.
That's good. So now what was your social media like once the word got out that you're the person in this video? And happened to your social media?
When Kyle posted a video on his Facebook, I commented on it, and I was like, hey, I'm the one in there, you know, because I wanted him to know. And, mm-hmm. oh, God, that was a mistake, because when I did that, you know, everybody saw it, and then, my phone went kind of crazy for a while.
Now, what social media are you on?
I just have Facebook and Instagram. Kyle's manager this weekend he made me get a Twitter because he's like, girl, you have got to do he's like, I can't believe you don't have a Twitter. I was like, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know how to work it. But anyway, Kyle's manager set me one up, so I have one now. I just got to figure
out
how to
use it. So what's your Twitter handle?
I don't know. I don't know anything about it yet. I haven't even gotten on there since he set it up, honestly.
Gotcha. Well, as soon as you figure out what your name is on there, just let me know and I'll post it up on my social media. Now,
okay,
so now that everyone knows that you're that girl and the media starts calling you, what reporters and media reached out to you to get an interview with you, besides me?
ESPN, Sports Center.
Very cool.
Sports Illustrated, Fox.
Cool.
Everybody. NASCAR.com.
That's really cool.
You know, they're all, they started Facebook messaging me is what they were doing because that's mm-hmm. the only way they could get a hold of me. And I'd go through, I had so many messages, but I'd go through and I'd look and see who was who and if they looked mm-hmm. all right, not crazy. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess it's okay. because you never know now.
Oh, yeah, no, I can guarantee that you got some crazy people, out there. I get them all the time as well. But what did you think when, like, you started getting asked to be interviewed? Were you, like, were you ever interviewed for anything before? Hit you out of left field?
Oh, yeah, no, I've never done anything like that before. I've done better than I thought that I would have, though. I've
mm-hmm.
been doing okay, I think, but what really was nerve-wracking was, I've been doing these interviews on Skype and, you know, the radio and stuff like that, but
mm-hmm.
when I got to Bristol and it was played on the Colossal screen or whatever that new screen is, a huge one, when I got a little freaked out. I was like, oh, my God, I was so nervous because it was live and they were playing it on that, so, there's no room for error when it's mm-hmm. on that, so I got a little nervous then.
So now, take me through Bristol. When did you get there? Were you there like the whole weekend?
Yeah, I got there Friday night or Friday afternoon. Went and got my hot passes, and
mm-hmm.
then got rested up and went to the race Saturday, and I got to see Kyle and Samantha and everybody.
Nice.
And then Sunday, I went mm-hmm. again and hung out with them all day. And then when Kyle wrecked, and we called it a short day and we went.
Oh, okay. Now, let me ask you this. Where did you guys stay? Did they take care of all your expenses and stuff?
Some, not all of them. But, yeah, we camped right close by.
Oh,
right,
so
by
you camped
track.
Out?
Yeah.
In the campground? Oh, we have
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Yeah,
about.
That's what I do at every race.
That's
I
cool.
actually
Very
like
cool.
it.
Nice. Now, were you able to bring anybody with you?
Yes. I brought two of my friends that were with me at Martinsville.
Okay.
They're big Kyle fans. And, you know, I wanted to bring somebody that was a Kyle fan. Because
mm-hmm.
a lot of people were like, oh, well, take me. I'm like, you don't even like him. Why would I take him? No.
Oh, yeah, all of a sudden, you get hot passes or something like that, everybody's your friend.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you think about?
Yeah, they got to go with me, and we had
nice.
So much fun. I mean, they treated us so nice. It was beyond anything I ever expected. I mean, everybody, the crew, Kyle, Samantha, her dad, his managers. I mean, they were all just so nice and welcoming.
That's
and
cool.
Did everything they could for us. So.
Nice. What kind of hospitality did they offer you? Like, what kind of food would they took care of your meals and stuff? What'd you have?
Well, I mean, we ate with them a lot.
Okay.
And we cooked out some at camp. And
nice. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Now, when you met face-to-face with Kyle at Bristol, what did you, you know, what did you do or say to him? And, you know, what did he say to you about the video?
Well, when I first saw him, I was waiting outside of his motorhome, and I'm sorry. Let me take that back. That was the first. That was my like scheduled time I had with him. Saturday, that was Sunday morning. Saturday at the Xfinity race, right after the Sprint Cup practice that morning, he came up to the trailer to his car hauler, and I knew he was gonna walk in there. So, one of my friends that was with me. He said, just stand right there by the car, by the hauler when he walks up and just look at him and go, what's up? He's like, you've got to keep a straight face. Don't freak out. Just look at him and say, what's up? And I did. And when I did that, he started freaking out like I did to him. He was like, oh, my God, it's there. And he gave me a hug and gave me a high five. He's like, you're awesome, girl. I mean, he could only talk to me for a second because he had to. I mean, he just got out of a Sprint Cup car. He had to go Xfinity, so he was kind of in a hurry. But, you know, I got to talk to him for a second Saturday. And then Sunday morning, we met him at the motorhome, at his motorhome, and we were outside talking, and I was just so happy to see him. And, I mean, it was awesome. And then Joe Gibbs drove by on the golf cart while we were outside talking, coming from his motorhome. And he had somebody driving him, and he looked over and saw me and Kyle talking, and he looked at his driver. He said, whoa, stop, turn around. That's that girl. And he jumped off the golf cart, ran over there and gave me a hug. And then he was like, he said, hold your hand out and close your eyes. And I was like, okay. And I did, and I felt him sliding a ring on my finger, and I was like, what in the world is this? And I opened and looked, and it was his Super Bowl ring.
Wow.
And he was
cool.
Well, hold that thing up. Let's take a picture. I was like, okay. So that was crazy. Just a lot happened in like 30 minutes that morning.
Very nice.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Cool. So you said that you camped out at Bristol. What was the campground like out there?
It was nice. It was fine. It was really close to the track. So that was good. But yeah, it was fun.
Did it get rowdy out in the campgrounds out there?
No, not really.
So you weren't in that section?
No, I wasn't in the crazy section.
Gotcha. Okay. In your opinion, was the campground scene full to you, or was there like a lot of empty spaces?
No, there's a lot of empty spaces.
Really? That's not good.
Yeah, we just pulled up on one and we're like, this looks good. It's real close to track. And we just stayed there. So.
Gotcha. So now, where did you actually get to watch the races from?
From the pit box. From Kyle's pit box. Yep.
Both days?
Yep.
Nice. Now, did you get to meet any other drivers while you were there?
I saw them in passing, but I didn't even go up and talk to any of them.
Gotcha.
I'm only worried about Kyle, honestly. I mean, it was cool to see him, but I didn't want their autograph or anything. I was like, they were like, my friends were like, well, look, there's Dale Jr. and Peyton Manning. Don't you want to go get their autograph? And I'm like, I did get a picture of Peyton Manning, though. That was pretty cool, but I wasn't really worried about Dale Jr. I'm just 100% Kyle. I mean, that's just all it is.
I totally hear that. That's funny. Now, did any of the other fans in attendance recognize you as well?
Oh, yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I was surprised. Well, and they saw me hanging out around Kyle's pit box and me doing interviews and all, and people were coming up and like, you the girl in the video? I said, yeah. And then they wanted a picture and, you know.
Yep. That's cool. That's really cool. Now, I know that Kyle didn't have a great weekend on track. But did you get to see him after he was out of the race? How was he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we hung out for a little while. He was on Saturday. Sunday he was kind of in the bad mood, as you could imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I tried not to talk to him too much, but he did tell me bye after the race and thanks for coming and everything.
Very cool. So what's next for you? What's your next race?
I'm going to Richmond this weekend.
Okay. Nice.
Yep.
Nice. Now, is there anything else about the whole experience over your past few weeks that you'd like to mention that maybe we haven't spoken about yet? Cover everything.
No, I mean, just the main thing to me, you know, that was just so awesome was they were, you know, the whole time, not only to me, but to the two guests that I brought as well. And they were it was just amazing, you know, and you just don't see that very much. Well, or hardly ever, you know, a driver bringing a fan and two of her friends and, you know, doing everything you possibly can for them. It was just awesome. And I'm just so thankful that they gave me the opportunity. And
that's cool.
I hope everybody will like Kyle a little bit more now. He's not horrible. Like most people think.
I don't think that either. But so now, will you remain in touch with them? And will you be going to more races in the future as their guests? Or
they told me pretty much any race I want to go to, just let them know. And, I mean, it's not going to be the VIP treatment like I got this time, of course.
Right.
But, you know, they'll still get me in hot passes. And
cool.
So, yeah.
Very cool. Well, Darren, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and talking to me in such detail. And I'm really happy that you got that once-in-a-lifetime experience with your favorite driver. That's really cool. I mean, so many fans only dream about something like that. So what an awesome story. So, thanks so much for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, you have a good night, and enjoy those pictures that you took.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there you go, everyone. I'm so glad I got to talk to her and hear her amazing story with my own ears. I hope you guys all enjoyed hearing her on the show as well. If you haven't seen the video with Darian and Kyle Busch, you must be living under a rock. But in any case, I will repost that video on my social media after the show and you can check it all out. Okay, great. So tonight's show is brought to you in part by Race City Steel. Race City Steel is a family-owned business, and it prides itself on quality steel, aluminum, and plastic products with superior customer service. They're conveniently located in Denver, North Carolina, which is really close to Mooresville, North Carolina. Race City Steel provides a lot of the metal used to make the race cars you see on the track every single week, but that's not all they do. Race City Steel offers a variety of aluminum products, which includes the sheets, colored sheets, diamond plate, expanded, flat bar, solid round bar, channel, hex, pipe and angle, as well as rectangle, round, and square tubing. They're also a supplier of a variety of plastics and stock a wide selection of stainless steel that comes in many, many different grades and finishes. So if you're thinking about building just about anything, then definitely call Race City Steel for all the materials you're going to need. They may be located in North Carolina, but they service the entire nation. So check them out at www.racecitysteel.com or give them a call at 704-489-2101 and make sure that you tell them Infield Gen sent you. All right, moving on. So as you all know, I found myself at the racetrack every week for the past several weeks between Brian Racing and Stephen Parsons Racing, and I'll continue to travel to a bunch of different tracks coming up for the next few weekends. Now, this weekend, Brian Keselowski is back in the hot seat in his number 5 Ford Fusion as he gets ready to compete in the ARCA Racing Series at Salem Speedway in the Kentuckiana Ford Dealers 200. Now, I wasn't sure if we were going to actually be able to go to this one because we were kind of cutting it close on funds, but we got it all squared away, and we're really excited. Brian really likes this track. He's won there before, and he has a really good car for this race. So we're going to give it our all and see what happens. Now, a big part of us being able to race is thanks to my very popular fan sponsorship program. Now, if you want to see everything that goes on in the garages and on pit road at a NASCAR Sprint Cup race this year, then don't hesitate any longer and become a sponsor through my fan sponsorship program. It's really, really simple. All the details are listed on my fan-friendly website at www.infieldgen.com forward/fan-sponsorship. Fans who sign up are doing a really great thing. By sponsoring a team, you're helping a team get some of the extra funds that they need to go racing. And my fan sponsors are getting the access that they want to the garages and pit road, ensuring that they have the best chances possible of meeting their favorite NASCAR drivers and teams. And they get to see just what their sponsorship dollars really do. Best of all, these packages are affordable for just about everyone. So don't wait any longer and become a fan sponsor today. These packages are limited per race and are on a first-come basis. All the details and information that you need are listed along with a list of commonly asked questions with all the answers right on my website. When you sign up, just contact me and tell me when I will be turning you into a fan sponsor too. It's that easy. So that's on www.infieldgen.com/fan-sponsorship. Got a lot of good stuff going on here. And hey, speaking of good stuff, if you love getting all of your favorite NASCAR stuff, then you need to check out all the stuff that you can get with your favorite race car driver's face plastered all over it on racegear.com. They have everything from diecast to t-shirts and everything in between. Get all of your favorite racing memorabilia with only a few simple clicks, and it's on its way to you. You don't even have to leave the house or go to the racetrack to get it. Just go to racegear.com and make sure that you use the code RACEFANSROCK at checkout, and you're going to get an additional 10% off your order. So don't wait. Get yourself some good stuff on racegear.com. All right. Now that Bristol Motor Speedway is in the books, and now the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series and the NASCAR Xfinity Series are looking forward to Richmond International Raceway this upcoming weekend. Now, Richmond's a thing track. It's a three-quarter mile, measured 13.5 feet from the safer barrier. It's got a D-shaped oval shape about it. The width of the track is 60 feet with a 10-foot apron. Now, banking, if you've got 14 degrees banking in turns, you got 8 degrees at the starting line on a 1,290-foot front stretch. Got 2 degrees of banking on an 860-foot backstretch. Pretty interesting. Now, Richmond International Raceway seats 70,266 people, plus they have 680 seats that are part of the Torque Club. And I've been in there before. It's really cool. There are also 40 luxury suites, so they have plenty of seats to go around, so make sure that you grab yourself one. And Richmond International Raceway has more than 800 acres of free parking. You can't beat that. There are a lot of good reasons why you should go and see a race there, especially this weekend. And for tickets, you can just call 866-455-RACE or visit www.rir.com. All right, now it's time to find out who's who, who's in it, and who's driving what this week coming up at Richmond International Raceway. Starting with the NASCAR Xfinity Series, there's 41 cars on the entry list as of right now for Saturday's Toyota Care 250 at Richmond International Raceway. We have Cole Custer in the number 5 for Junior Motorsports. Green returns to TriStar as number 10. Timmy Hill returns to the 13. Matt Tift will drive the number 18 for Joe Gibbs Racing. Spencer Gallagher will be back in the number 21 car as he makes his return to the track. Dale Earnhardt Jr., pulling double duty, will drive the number 88. Josh Wise will be in the number 93 again. And there you have it. The NASCAR Xfinity Series Toyota Care 250 at Richmond International Raceway is set to start on Saturday, April 23rd at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and it's aired on Fox Sports 1, MRN, and Sirius XM Radio Channel 90. Now on to the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. The entry list for the Toyota Owners 400 is showing 41 teams for only 40 spots. We have Brian Vickers in the 14, Ryan Blaney in the 21, Josh Wise, also pulling double duty, will be in the number 30. Jeffrey Earnhardt in the number 32 for Go Fast Racing. Reed Sorensen in the 55. Ryan Ellis in the number 93. Michael McDowell in the number 95. And Cole Witt in the 98. Now, drivers who are not on a charter team and are not locked in and have to get in on speed would be Ryan Blaney in the 21, Josh Wise in the 30, Reed Sorensen in the 55, Ryan Ellis in the 93, and Cole Witt in the 98. Now, if qualifying is canceled for whatever reason, Ryan Ellis in the number 93 would miss the race because he has the least amount of race attempts this year. So I know what that feels like. I've been there before with Ryan, so I hope it doesn't rain, and I hope that they don't call of qualifying for them. In any case, the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Toyota Onis 400 is set to start on Sunday, April 24th at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, and it will be aired live on Fox Network, MRN, and Sirius XM Radio Channel 90. Now, you guys can head over to my website and check out the full entry list for the NASCAR Sprint Cup and Xfinity Race on www.infieldgen.com. The NASCAR Camping World Truck Series will have another weekend off. All right, guys, keep in touch with me and send me those requests that you have for pictures and questions for all your favorite drivers all week long. Connect with me on Facebook, either on my fan page or my personal page. If you're on Twitter, you can follow me at InfieldGen, and I'm also on Instagram, LinkedIn, Google+, YouTube, Tumblr, Pinterest, Periscope, and more as InfieldGen. Make sure you visit my website, InfieldGen.com, on a daily basis. Check out the latest news, pictures, videos, race results. It includes all the practice sessions, all the qualifying sessions, and final race results, complete with race notes and penalty reports for every race. It's all up there. Make sure you check out the new blog posts, cool fan stories, different teams' press releases, photos from my dedicated fan in the standards orders, and so much more. So check it out, see what you missed, and get all caught up. It's all right there on InfieldGen.com. And if you have a suggestion for something you'd like to see me post on the website, feel free to send those suggestions to me via the contact form at the bottom of every page on my website. I get those messages directly, and I will answer you back. And don't forget to click over to my merchandise tab and get yourself some InfieldGen gear. We've got some new t-shirts up there, and they're really cool. So that's that. I want to thank Darian for coming on the show and talking to me all about the great things that she did this weekend and all of her interactions with Kyle Busch. It's been really cool. Once again, I want to send out a huge shout-out to Race City Steel, RaceGear.com, and especially Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC, for sponsoring tonight's show. You guys rock so much. Extra thanks to everyone who tuned in tonight as well. Hope you all have a great week, and I hope to catch up with you again, and I hope to catch up on some sleep because I really need it. Well, I will catch up with you again right here next Tuesday night, same day, same time. And remember, everyone, race fans rock. They really do. Good night.